All right, welcome everybody. Tonight is Wednesday night, November 29, 2017. We are in our series, Believe in Jesus, Believe Jesus, Believe What Jesus Believes. Our topic is Jesus Questioned About Marriage in the Resurrection, from Matthew 22, verses 23 to 33, which we will be reading, Mark 12, verses 18 to 27, and Luke 20, verses 27 to 38. All right, this is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can have the Word of God, and we thank you that Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, correctly interpreted for people the Word of God. And so, Lord, there's nothing like asking the author what he meant. And so, God, we thank you for this, that Jesus in our passage tonight interprets the Scripture. He indicts for not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. And so, Lord, this is an indictment not only to these Sadducees, but also to us as the body of Christ. Lord, around the world, we need to know the Scriptures, and we need to know the power of God. And so, Lord, this is also about resurrection, and we just get a few clues here and there. So, God, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit. We ask your Holy Spirit to come as a spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us, to reveal the Word to us, Lord, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that we might understand the Scriptures. We ask you to open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. And God, let it all be to your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll have a little intro before we read our passage in Matthew. Jesus had answered a theological question. He answered a political question. And then, as if the render unto Caesar moment with the Pharisees and Herodians was not enough, on the same day, Sadducees came to Jesus to ask him a question about the resurrection. This was an eschatological question, something about the end times, or what happens, you know? The thing is, the Sadducees said that there is no resurrection. That's the deal. They only accepted the authority of the five books of Moses. And what are the five books of Moses?
Genesis,
Exodus,
Leviticus,
Numbers,
and Deuteronomy.
That was it. Okay, wasn't that convenient for them? They did not believe in a spirit world. Any teaching or doctrine had to be defended from the first five books, or it was disregarded. The Sadducees did not believe in the existence of the soul, even though in Genesis it says God breathed on them and man became a living soul.
And the first five books also talked about angels and so forth.
That's right. Okay, well, you know, with selective memory. And animals have the same thing, soul, nephesh. Okay. They did not believe in life after death, or resurrection, the final judgment, angels or demons. That led them to want to kill Lazarus when Jesus raised from the dead, raised Lazarus from the dead. And they also, in Acts 23, verse 8, opposed the apostles' teaching of the resurrection. Okay, we can't have that. All right, most of them were priests and wealthy. They made up a very large portion, maybe the largest portion of the priesthood, so consider that one. They considered themselves to be the, quote, religious aristocracy. Oh, aristocrats. They tended to see themselves as higher than others. Polygamy had, and they're going to bring up a question about marriage in a hypothetical, but polygamy had not been practiced for hundreds of years by this point in time. The Sadducees just wanted to bring up this ancient law to put Jesus to the test. Okay. Now, they called Jesus Master. Master. They bring up the law of Moses. And here's their hypothetical in a nutshell. If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, the dead man's wife, because the wife outlived her husband, and raise up seed unto his brother. If a man's brother die and leave no children, then his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. If any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, then his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, this is from Deuteronomy. This is the law of Moses. Let's read, before we get into the Matthew, let's read Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 to 10. Otherwise, what's going to come is not going to make, it's going to make more sense when we actually read the law of God. Deuteronomy 25, 5 to 10.
If brothers dwell together, and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go in to take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother." Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, "I do not want to take her," then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, "So shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house." And his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who has had his sandal removed.
Okay. Now, this is the Jewish law of Levirate marriage. The word Levirate, L-E-V-I-R-A-T-E, comes from a Latin word, Levir, which means a husband's brother. It has nothing to do with the tribe of Levi. Nothing to do with the tribe of Levi. They called it Levirate marriage, but that comes from a Latin word. Okay. But the idea was to preserve a man's name should he die without a male heir. Family inheritance was a major concern, as each home needed to have an heir, and that heir had to be male, a man. It was considered a disgrace for a man to refuse to raise up a family for his dead brother. Now, with that in mind, let's read Matthew 22, verses 23 to 33.
The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching.
Okay. Now, the Sadducees present a hypothetical situation. One man after another dies, up to seven total. Seven brothers die without children, and so this woman had a series of seven husbands during her lifetime, all brothers, and all of whom had died. Last of all, the woman died also. Now, the irony of this is maybe she couldn't have children, but they don't ever think that. It's interesting around different nations around the world how they think about things like this. In some nations, it's always the woman's fault, and in other nations, somehow the man, the man, there's nothing wrong with the woman, it's the man or something. It just depends on where the culture. Okay, so this was their thing. So in the resurrection, whose wife would she be? The Sadducees held that no woman could have seven husbands in the future life. That was their thing. But they conceived the future life to be an extension of life on earth, only better. Jesus responded. Answering moreover, Jesus said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Indeed, in the resurrection, neither do they marry, nor are they given in marriage, but they are like angels of God in heaven. Concerning moreover the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that having been spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob,' absolutely not he is God of the dead, but of the living. All indeed to him live." And Jesus told them they were ignorant. Well, come on. That didn't set well. That would not have set well right there. They did not know the scriptures. This is the indictment. They did not know the power of God. Therefore, they limited God's power and denied God's word. By inference, they did not really know God. What an indictment. These Sadducees were the religious aristocracy, remember. Oh. They didn't know. Instead of getting into their hypothetical, Jesus moves forward to the real issue, the resurrection. He will contrast this age with the age to come. So I've numbered these so that it makes it easier. Number one, in the resurrection, there is no need for marriage. Number two, in the resurrection, there will be no death. Three, in the resurrection, there will be no need for children to be born to replace or replenish or multiply to fill the earth. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. That's the thing. The children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But in the resurrection, there is no marriage, there's no need for marriage, there's no death, there's no need for children to be born. Number four, in the resurrection, people would be like the angels, in that people would be sexless and not married or given in marriage. Angels are spirit beings without sexuality. And I want to make it very clear, people do not become angels. People do not become angels. They're like angels in heaven in that they are sexless. There's no reproduction. We will also become like angels in our immortality. See, they don't die. Like, demons don't die. They just go from one place to another or one person to another. They don't die. Number five, they will be judged someday, but even at that, they go to a place where Jesus sends them. See what I mean? Number five, Jesus refers to Moses to make his point. He reminds these Sadducees of Exodus 3, verse 6. Let's read it. Exodus 3, verse 6.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God.
All right, so Jesus refers to Moses. He reminds the Sadducees of Exodus 3:6, where God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He did not say, I was the God of Abraham, as if Abraham was no more. Now let's read Exodus 3, verses 15 and 16.
Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt.
Okay, because in the other passages on this, Jesus takes us back to the part on what he calls the bush. Have you never read, you know, about the bush, referring to this passage? So these three patriarchs were at that time alive. God knew them and loved them personally and individually. Number six, in the resurrection, believers are sons of God, sons of the resurrection. They are not able to die anymore. Some of this is from the Luke 20 passage on this. They are not able to die anymore. The proof of their new status as sons of God will be their being sons of the resurrection. Let's read Romans 8, verses 21 and 23.
Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body.
Okay. This is Jesus' words from Luke 20, verses 35 to 38. Those, however, having been considered worthy to the age that which is to obtain, and the resurrection which is out from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither indeed are they able to die any more. Indeed, they are like angels, and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Moreover, that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the part on the bush, when he calls the Lord, and it's kurios in the Greek, calls the Lord, the God of Abraham, and God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Moreover, he is not, and this is the strong not, he is not, absolutely not the God of the dead, but of the living. All indeed to him live. And that's from Luke 20, verses 35 to 38. Now let's read, for number 7, let's read Romans 1, verse 4.
And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Okay, so number 7, Jesus was proclaimed the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So there is a connection there between resurrection being the proof of the new status, of a new status as sons of God or children of God. Okay? Resurrection is not the restoration of life as we now know it. It is not reconstruction. It is the entrance into a new and different life. It is the miracle of being granted a new body that has continuity with the old body, but not identity. By this I mean that presently our bodies are like a planted seed, and the future resurrection body is like the glorious flower and fruit. And also, you know, we just kind of use the picture of the worm, the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. There's a connection. It's the caterpillar going, you know, into some cocoon, and don't break out of the cocoon too early. And then out comes something new, but it's that caterpillar in a new form, as a butterfly. Okay? And so that we talk about it that way too, but this is like the planted seed, and the future resurrection body is like the glorious flower and fruit, would be another from the plant kingdom. But we see it in nature happening. Mm-hmm. True believers are given new bodies fit for the new life in heaven. In other words, we'll be made fit for whatever it is out there. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35, and go a little ways about the fitness.
But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
Okay, so whatever it is, it's going to be fit for new life in what we call heaven. God's children are higher than the angels. All right, so let's read John 17, verses 22 to 24.
And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world.
All right, before we comment, let's read 1 John 3, 1 and 2.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
All right, so are people connected more to Jesus and the Godhead in this, or to angels?
To God.
Right. Children of God, in Christ, all these things. The connection is upward, not downward. Were people to become like angels in the resurrection, that would actually be downwardly mobile. That would be a step down. I mean, angels are phenomenal and phenomenally powerful in all kinds of things and glorious, right? Holy elect angels, everything. You know, a little grunt demon can throw somebody across the room. One angel, what, can put 10,000 to flight? Okay, I mean, there's a lot of power and a lot of amazing things going on there. They just show up and, you know, and whatever.
Things change.
Right. And, but we do not, when it says, you know, we're made a little lower than the angels or something, it, you have to look at the context of what's being, what the comparison is. In this passage, we're like the angels in that there's, in that they have no gender identity. They're neither male nor female. They're spirit beings. They're spirit beings. Okay, so they're sexless. But, and for holy elect angels, they don't sin. So we're a little, we're lower than the angels. In that we don't, in that we sin. We don't obey the living God the way we're supposed to, and the way we should be. All right. But in the resurrection, we're going to be, the resurrection, our resurrection is proof that we are the children of God. Just like when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was proof that, that God the Father accepted Jesus' atoning work on our behalf. That was the proof. He raised him from the dead. Okay. In the eternal state, believers' new bodies are perfect and there is no death. Jesus' resurrection body was the same as before his death, but it was also different. People recognized him if he revealed, he had to reveal it, but then they did recognize him, and they even touched him. He could eat food, and yet he could also walk through closed doors, change his appearance, and vanish suddenly. He ascends into heaven. So what kind of power did that take? I mean, you think about it, because we've seen rockets go off.
The amount of fuel it takes just to get them out of the Earth's atmosphere is incredible.
Yeah, and he just, I don't know what they thought.
Yeah, I don't think he left a smoke trail. And I don't think he polluted the atmosphere going up.
But he overcame gravity, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, so he can overcome gravity. He can overcome a lot of the laws that hold everything together. The laws. Okay. Moses taught on the continuation of life after death. The patriarchs were alive when God said, "I am the God of Abraham," etc., at the burning bush. If they were alive, then were they out of the body since they had died? Let's read James 2, verse 26.
For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
The body without the spirit is dead. If they were alive, then were they out of the body? The body without the spirit is dead. So their body died, right? Because they're still alive, their spirit is alive until
until it leaves the body.
You're kind of in a, the language is too technical here, but you're kind of like a disembodied spirit in a way until Jesus returns and that you have the resurrection body, right? Resurrection body. All right, so the Exodus 3 scriptures teach the truth of life after death and the reality of the resurrection, not by direct statement, but by inference. God is the God of the whole person. Spirit, soul, and body. Remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the soul. So, God of the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. So the whole spirit, soul, and body are preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, Jesus could have used other scriptures from the Old Testament for all of this about the resurrection and what was going on here. I'll just list them. Job 14, verse 14. Job 19, verses 25 to 27. Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 17, verse 15. And these last three, let's read these. Isaiah 26, verse 19.
Your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
Okay, and then it's all of Ezekiel 37. And then let's read Daniel 12, verse 2.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
All right. So we think it was only New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. That's the continuity of the scripture. Jesus also, as you said, could have proven the existence of angels. Do you know who had the first angel visit?
When it's Hagar?
Hagar. Hagar. Yeah. Okay. There is a real world of spirit beings, and in fact, Moses did affirm the existence of angels. In the reading, let's read Genesis 19, verse 1 and 15.
Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city."
Okay, and Genesis 28, verse 12.
Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there were angels of God ascending and descending on it.
And so, okay, Abraham, what? We got Abraham, Isaac. Now let's read Genesis 32, verse 1.
Now Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him.
All right, authority is on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Sadducees did not believe in angels, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, there it is. But Jesus doesn't bring, he sticks to the issue that they raised about the resurrection, in the resurrection, that they didn't even believe. They didn't believe in the resurrection, so it was a trap. Jesus chose to meet his adversaries on their ground. They only accepted the first five books of Moses. Fine. Jesus knew the scriptures. He is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. The more we know the scriptures, the easier it will be for us to have an answer for the hope within us. The Sadducees sought to be rational, but in being such, they denied the very power of God. Now, I see this as a danger throughout history. The desire to be so rational, the evidence and whatever, and that you're with your mind, you have to believe it with your mind. Okay, that it denies the very power of God. And I'm going to bring it up because it's one of my things that really bothers me. But years ago, I volunteered at a place called Captivated Child Care Center. And none of those children could have rationalized anything. They were all they were all children of mothers who were, let's see, what was the thing then? It wasn't cocaine. It was either heroin, addiction, maybe it was cocaine. But anyway, it was some drug like everybody was taking at the time. But they were all, those children were alive, healthy, and not there, if you know what I mean. They had all kinds of issues. And this place is called the Captivated Child Care Center. And, but I believe that in the power of God, even back then, and this was years ago, and I would sit with these children. They were, I think, under 2 years old. I can't remember. A lot of them couldn't walk, you know. So they were like babies, some of them big babies, right? But I just would rock them in the rocking chair because they needed to be loved. They would lay there, and some of the people working there were like, well, they don't comprehend anything. And I thought, baloney. I mean, they have shown that children like that respond to touch, and they need to be loved just like everybody, right? So I would sit there and rock them and everything. And the other major thing I did was the bathroom was always awful, so I would clean the bathroom because they would never clean the bathroom. The bathroom was terrible. And there again, it was the idea of, you know, like, they don't know. They don't understand anything. So, but anyway, and I would give them the gospel. And I would sing little songs, and, you know, and or whatever. I don't know, because I really believe God is spirit, and God can, the power of God is strong enough. People are not saved by being able to reason out, you know. Yes, we have a reasonable faith, but that doesn't mean that you believe just by reason alone. Like, you have to convince somebody. What if they don't have a rational mind? Are they just doomed because they don't have a rational mind, or they have a very low IQ, or whatever their condition is? I don't believe that. There's no, that cuts out all hope for a lot of people around the world.
A lot
of people.
Because a lot of people have no education.
Yeah.
And they have no training. There's a lot of the basic concepts that are taught in our culture, they don't even have that. I mean, they live
on the side of the road.
Right, okay, well,
they live on the side of the road, and
they're like little loose dogs. They're just living off of whatever anybody will feed them. You know, they're just hoping to survive. It doesn't go beyond that. I mean, every bit of their concentration and focus is on survival.
So people, but they have souls. Isn't it convenient to say there's no soul? Well, you know what I mean. And they have souls. They have bodies. They're not just bodies. They have a soul. They have a spirit. They can receive. And that's what I, you know, and I firmly believe that. A person can be totally, it's because if Jesus Christ walked through walls, and he literally walked through walls, well, he can walk through any kind of wall, a stronghold, emotional stronghold, a physical barrier, anything. He can reach, there is nowhere, when the Bible says there's no place you can hide from the Holy Spirit, All right, that you have to see that too. If the Holy Spirit wants you, there's no place. He's going to find you wherever. If you're locked inside some body that can't move, He's going to find you. He can find you. He can reach you. Oh, they're beyond reach, are they?
Not for God.
So we have, that's part of what I think our faith has to be, that God, that nothing is beyond God's reach. The Word of God is not chained, the Bible says. The Word of God is not changed. The power, so the Sadducees denied the power of God. And then they wanted everything to be rational. Okay. The scribes thought Jesus taught well, and no longer did they dare or have the courage to question him further. And the crowds were astonished and amazed. All right. Now, this is a review because most of this goes out. I send out something, you know, that says, so what does Jesus believe? And this is in print. And I will say, since we have the time to say it tonight, that if you're interested in receiving this portion of the lesson, you just email me I guess it would come to me at mary@marycraig.org and ask to get the What Does Jesus Believe? Emails. They come by email. And there's quite a few people on this list. And so if you send your email address and you want to be on the list, we're happy to add you to the list. Okay. Otherwise, you listen and here it is. But if you want it in print, because it goes out in print. All right. So what does Jesus believe? Number one, Jesus believes in answering the real question. And in avoiding hypotheticals designed to entrap him. When certain Sadducees came to him, he addressed the issue of the resurrection, something which the Sadducees denied. And then I have a little more about that, which we talked about earlier. Okay, number two, Jesus believes he will address the issue of resurrection to clarify, correct, and convict of error. The hypothetical, and then I give the hypothetical they gave about one man after another dies, up to seven total, and then the woman finally dies, and so in the resurrection, whose wife would she be? Number three, Jesus believes the Sadducees were in error because they did not know the scriptures and they did not know the power of God. Jesus indicts that they did not really know God. These Sadducees were the religious aristocracy, remember. Now this also tells me that this is a very picky point when Jesus says, you know, when God says about being the God of Abraham, I am the God of your fathers, being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he's the God of the living, and so these are still living. That points to a very close reading of the scriptures. Very close reading to get that interpretation. Because, yes, it wasn't I was the God, but it also, I am currently the God, is what he's saying. I am currently the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that you wouldn't get that interpretation unless you very carefully looked at that scripture. If you were just reading it, you would just read right over it. So it's the Bible says to study to show yourself, you know, like a workman approved.
In English, you would read right over it for sure.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mhm.
But the Hebrew must have had an indication that they could have noticed.
That's right. That's what drives to the original languages. Mm-hmm. Okay, and And all right, number four, Jesus believes in moving forward to the real issue, the resurrection. He will contrast this age with the age to come. And here I have the 7 points that I made from that part of the lesson, the 7 points. Number five, Jesus believes God is absolutely not the God of the dead, but of the living. The error was therefore great. Moses at the bush called the Lord, and the word for Lord there in Greek is Kyrios, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Jesus utilized the scripture the Sadducees recognized as having authority and proved his position from there. All right. Which tells us, and actually when you read carefully the letters, and the, like Paul's letter to the Romans and everything, they are basing their arguments, the arguments are based on Old Testament authority, support of the Old Testament as an authority. Even to show things that, to uphold things Jesus said. Because when you know what's in the Gospels and what Jesus taught, you see how those teachings are expounded in the letters in the rest of the New Testament. You go back and you think, oh yeah, well Jesus said this or Jesus said that. And so the teachings of Christ are expounded and like what it being interpreted with the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. Jesus could have used other scriptures, and I have those written out. Jesus chose to meet his adversaries on their ground. The Sadducees, only accepted the first 5 books. Fine. Jesus knew the scriptures. He is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. The more we know the scriptures, the easier it will be for us to have an answer for the hope within us. Okay, number six, Jesus believes in the authority of the first 5 books of Moses. As a matter of fact, Jesus upholds the authority of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms himself out of his own mouth. He upholds the books of the Old Testament as authority. He could also have used those scriptures to prove the existence of angels, and I have those scriptures. And this one, Exodus 3, scriptures teach the truth of life after death and the reality of the resurrection, not by direct statement, but by inference. God is the God of the whole person, as we just said, spirit, soul, and body. All right, number seven, Jesus believes in a one true and living God. So must we. He is the living God. I've done this, I don't know if I remember all of them, but God is the living God. The Father is the living Father. Jesus is the Word, but he is the living Word. He is the living Christ. The Holy Spirit is the living Spirit. The living Spirit. Okay? And there's a list of living where it's used in the scriptures. Living. I have a whole list of them, but those are the main ones. And we need to remember that God is for life and he is living. Because the demons are called the no gods, and they are dead. There's no life in them.
That's right.
Nor can they give life. The Holy Spirit gives life. Jesus said his words are spirit and they are life. His words are spirit. They are spirit and they are life. Okay, God is the God of the living, for all live unto him. Jesus' teaching astonished and amazed the multitude who heard his teaching. We likewise should be amazed at this astonishing truth. God raises the dead. What power? Okay, and we all said amen.
Amen.
But again, I will say, if you want to get these or get, we also send out over the email live recording, the recordings as they come out. They do eventually go up at www.mcmtffr.org. They're all archived there. But if you want them live, you can also email me at mary@marycraig.org, and we'll get you on the appropriate email list. All right. And we said, amen.
Amen.